Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Oh, I tell you, Jennifer, she is really a party pooper.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Really? Jennifer poops at parties? So she poops at parties, so and people know this?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I poop at parties. I poop at parties, but people don't know because I close the door.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Where does she go for it? Does she visit a water closet and make door of the open so people may see and smell things? This sound horrible.
The Fan.
New York streets will kill us a walk like Pistol Pete and
Pat. Hey, let's do this final hour, Dirt and Sprague, on a Thursday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Today is like the most Portland weather day of all time.
Yeah, it looked like...
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the Grim Reaper was riding in this morning.
My fiance sent me a video earlier from the house. It looked like it was in the middle of a tsunami.
Yeah.
And now we have just beautiful sunshine glaring into the windows.
Clouds are breaking. Sun is coming out.
It's the most Portland day of all time. Yeah. I love those when you're walking down the street. And you get the, like, it's sunny and it's raining on you.
And then
at the
rain
time.
Starts evaporating. You see the little fog rising up from the sidewalks and the puddles.
How is this happening? What is going on? Beautiful day. Beautiful day in Portland. Lots to get to in the final hour, including the definitive answer to what is the best Christmas movie of all time, 55305.
How don't we
do it every year.
Put this thing to rest.
Oh, we do it every year. And it gets asked again every year. Like clockwork, man. Christmas shows. Christmas movie talk. Let's do it. There's a poll question up at Dirt and Sprague. You can text yours in 55305. Better you today. Text line. Definitive answer. What's the best Christmas movie? Lots to get to, though. We start with the Pro Football Challenge.
The Fan presents a little trip around the National Football League.
Simple plays executed with a maximum of effort.
Game by game, our hosts are ready to make their picks against the murderer's row that is the Fan Air Staff. The Junior Fan Genius.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm six.
And yes, you, the mighty fan listener.
Oh, no. We woke up the mama.
This is the Fan's Pro Football Challenge, presented by Oregon Lottery Scoreboard. Wager on pro sports right from your smartphone with the new Oregon Lottery Scoreboard. Brought to you by Encore Audio Video.
Today I'm laying the big wood.
The Pro Football Challenge with Dirt and Spray on 1080.
It's go time, yo.
The Fan.
Cut that meat. Cut that meat.
They're cutting the meat in the next room.
They are cutting
the
meat.
Did you have
in
that wild boar pate?
I did. I smelled meat in the I smelled meat in the building and I went a wandering.
Oh, that is fantastic. I got to figure out where that's from. I didn't have enough time to, you know, ask the pertinent questions.
Waft the meat smell into the studio in here. You kidding me? Good meat over there. Good meat. All right. Gotta love the meat. Listener leader right now is Blue Beta 20 at 142, man. This guy's in control. He's been in the lead basically all season.
More importantly, am I still ahead in this show?
You are, Jason Swigart.
Yes, no late season fade this year.
No, we both had really good weeks last week. We both had 11. Which isn't too shabby. We both had 11. By the way, Sprague also had 11, but that's no counties because he didn't make his picks.
Yeah, he's disqualified now.
So that means 11 favorites won, but we didn't pick 11 favorites.
No, we did not.
We picked different paths to get there. So I'm at 126. You're at 131. So I'm still 5 games back. Only 3 weeks to go. But do remember that playoff games count for quadruple.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's when I make my...
We go to the lightning round.
That's when I make my big swing. Yeah. Go Play Along, brought to you by the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app. By the way, I saw this in my email today. I don't have the specifics in front of me right now. They have like a deal thing going on right now. Like if you do a deposit, you get a certain percentage match kind of thing. So I can't remember the specifics, but go check it out. Okay?
All right.
All right, we start. Seattle with a clunker in L.A. on Sunday night. Their reward is a cross-country trip and a 10 a.m. kick. They are in Carolina, who got smoked last week. They have given up. 5-8 Carolina, 10-3 Seattle.
The Seahawks here. One, they'll be cranky. And so I think they will have their focus. Russell Wilson, of starting quarterback since he came into the league, has the best record on the road in the Eastern time zone.
Really?
Of all quarterbacks since 2011. He's
18, interesting.
18-6, I believe, is what I saw.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'm too good to take Seattle. I think you're always a little concerned about those 10 a.m. kicks, but that number, I would not have guessed that.
Well, I'm the one that does research on the show.
You are the one that found that out, man. Carolina, yeah, 5-8. I mean, they look to be. I thought maybe last week you'd get for the play for the coach kind of thing, but no. They didn't look good. They lost.
No.
Seattle is desperate for a win because they still control their own destiny despite the loss last week with San Francisco coming to town in a couple of weeks. I think Seattle bounces back and gets a win in Carolina. New England is in Cincinnati.
Patriots.
There are 2% of people are taking the Bengals.
They're not losing this game. Just stop it. By the way, did you watch the...
I didn't. No, I have it on the DVR.
It's really good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
So the Saban, there was an HBO documentary that came out this week. The Saban and Belichick, like, coaching... I can't remember what the title of it is, but... Yeah, I saw people tweeting about it, and I was like, ooh, that's right. It comes out tonight, and I went and I DVR'd it, and I was going to try and watch it. Then I ended up watching something else. I forgot.
And I think... I'd rather hang out with Belichick than Saban.
Oh, okay.
Just like if I was going to hang out and had it, you know, if they were just whatever at the bar and I said, you know, they said, I'll talk as long as you buy pitchers of beer.
Right, you just keep buying them.
I think Saban would, I'd feel like I could exhaust everything that Saban had for me a lot quicker than Belichick.
I feel like there's more layers to Belichick.
Yeah.
He's a bit more of an onion. You keep peeling him back one beer at a time.
And you get a little, you hear players all the time who talk about he's got a great sense of humor. It's not overt.
You get a little
but
bit.
But you get a few senses of, yeah, I see it.
Okay. Yeah, I need to watch that.
He seems to be a little bit more lighthearted than Saban is all business all the time. He is.
Yeah, no nonsense.
He's constantly on a 10.
I got a long list of things because I'm doing a staycation next week. I haven't done a staycation in a long time.
Binge like nobody's business.
I got so many things on my to-do list, and that's one of them.
It kept me captivated the entire hour.
Okay, I got a lot of movies to watch, TV shows to catch up on, and that one's on my DVR list. New England's in Cincinnati. I don't know why 2% are taking the Bengals, but there you go. Next one up. Detroit at 3-9-1. I don't know who their quarterback is at this point. Is Stafford back? I haven't followed much of Detroit lately.
What do you gain from bringing Stafford back at this point?
That I don't know. You should just be playing for draft
position. I mean, you're
messing
around with a back and broken bones or stuff. There's no point.
They are hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Jameis Winston has the chance to end the season leading the NFL in touchdown passes and interceptions.
Yeah, Arians is going to roll with them. I mean... They can move it up and down the field. It's just a matter of if he finds his own guy in the end zone to finish it off. But I think Detroit has finally packed it in.
They're done for the year. Yeah, I'm with you on the Stafford thing, too. That's an interesting team to look at, man. Like, they lost a couple of games early in the year that was close, that they had a chance to win.
They got some bad breaks. They had some calls go against them, some fluky stuff.
But then they trade the safety to Seattle. Diggs.
Quandre Diggs.
It's like, man, that guy's killing it for the Seahawks, and the locker room was pissed. Like, what the hell are you doing? That's one of your best defenders. Why are you just trading him to Seattle? They didn't really get a lot in return out of that deal either. That's Detroit, I guess, for you. Give me Tampa Bay. All right, next one up. This is a big game for playoff positioning. Chicago is still technically in the hunt in the NFC with 3 games to go, and they got a game with Minnesota coming up, which will be big for them. They are on the road against Green Bay, who continues to win kind of ugly games. 10-3 Green Bay hosting 7-6 Chicago.
I'll go Packers here. I think Roquan Smith being done for the year for the Bears really hurts the defense. I think they can take advantage of Khalil Mack's aggression. I would run right at him with Aaron Jones. I would figure out where he's lining up, where they think he's coming, if he's going to blitz on stunts, and if they can run right at him, and maybe we see some old sad fashion stuff with a tight end chipping or a fullback blowing out Mack. I think there could be a lot of running room for Jones up the middle of the field.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I am intrigued to watch Trubisky in this one. I know that sounds weird, but he's had a bit of a resurgence here the last couple of weeks, and that's a guy. He's in year 3, isn't he?
I think so.
I think he's in year 3, right? So, I mean, he's getting close to, like, the contract kind of conversation. And really the only guy that comes to my mind that we've seen teams give up on early that's a top 10 pickish is Blake Bortles. It was very similar in Jacksonville. They were winning with defense, running the ball. He made a couple plays here and there, but they were finally like, man, well, this guy's not a franchise quarterback. That clock's ticking for him, man. He's running out of time. And he's won a couple of games here. They got it going offensively a bit. He's using his legs again, which is big because that's a difference-making thing that he can do. But Green Bay's got a good defense, and they're at home in this game. But I am excited for it. I'll take the Packers to get the win. Next one up, Kansas City. Sounds like everything's going to be okay with Mahomes. He says he avoided a scary injury. Taking on Denver, who somehow boat raced Houston last week. Denver at Kansas City.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs will be ready for this. Drew Lock certainly has gotten off to a fine start, but now it's always interesting after you see a couple of games from a brand new quarterback on film a little bit, see how they try to maneuver him. You can get some tendencies, how he works through progressions. Is he lock on receivers? Is he only work one side of the field? Does he work between the hashes or is he outside the numbers? That sort of thing. And Kansas City, offensively, much more, there's, if Mahomes isn't truly injured, then look out.
Yeah, if he's healthy, that's a thing to watch in this game. They, by the way, are sniffing on the heels of New England. So they have the head-to-head win over New England. They're trying to get that first-round bye, get that number two seed, but they're a game behind them. So they need New England to slip up at some point. As I mentioned, they play Cincinnati this weekend, so that's not going to happen. They're not going to lose to the Bengals. You get Buffalo maybe next week, maybe, depending on how Buffalo looks this week, but they get them at home, and then they close with, like, Miami. So probably not another loss on the docket for New England, but Kansas City, I'm sure, is going to stay aggressive in hopes that they slip up somewhere because they got that head-to-head now over New England and trying to get a first-round bye in the AFC playoffs. I will take Kansas City, though. You can't trust Denver on the road. I know I picked against them last week, and they surprised me. But that, to me, was more about Houston just not showing up. That was a no-excuse kind of thing for Houston. Kansas City gets the win at home. All right, we're just getting started. We got some more games to pick on the other side. A couple of intriguing ones, including can Minnesota avoid the slip-up on the road? Do the Cowboys bounce back? What about the game in New Orleans on Monday night? And I am excited for the Sunday night football game. We'll pick the rest of the NFL slate. We'll do it next on The Fan. Hey, welcome back in. We're having fun on a Thursday. Sun somehow is shining. Looks beautiful out there. Stay dry for Monday, man. I'm trying to play some golf Monday. All right, we got some poll questions to get to. Pigeons are wearing hats. All that coming up. But we're in the midst of our Pro Football Challenge. Go play along, 1080thefan.com. That's where you can make all of your picks. Brought to you by the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app. Go play. I still have not decided where to put my money tonight. I do. The 17-point spread is big, but the Jets suck. The over-under is the number I'm looking at. Now, what is the what? Do we know? Do we have a weather report on Baltimore tonight? Because I believe the over-under is only 44. I kind of like the over. Unless they just call off the dogs with Lamar Jackson late. Give me some sunshine.
All right. Baltimore tonight. Mostly cloudy. It's going to be cold.
Okay. I can handle cold.
So we're going to be around freezing, but it looks like the precipitation holding off until tomorrow.
Okay.
Just a 10% chance of precipitation. Wind only 4 to 5 miles an hour. So.
Okay. Only 44.
If you can, keep yourself properly warm. Shouldn't be anything. It shouldn't be like, the Eagles Monday night game.
No, I mean, I can see that game being, 31-14, right? I can see it being 31-14.
You think the Jets can score touchdowns?
I think they can get a couple of points on the board. Yeah, I don't think they're going to get shut out. Unless you start seeing ghosts again. Yeah, I don't know. I got to decipher that by the end of the show where I want to go tonight for Thursday Night Football. Okay, we're in the midst. Where did we leave off? We left off with Kansas City hosting Denver. Next one up, how about this turd sandwich? Where do you go, Miami or the New York Giants?
I'm taking Miami in this one. For some reason, Brian Flores is still acting like he cares.
Yeah.
They grinded away against the Jets. Bless them, 7 field goals. Even though they couldn't get in the end zone, they should be able to get in the end zone. If you're getting down that close that often, you're going to find the end zone a couple of times against the Giants.
I'm pissed it's the ownership that they're not going to likely get the number one overall pick. Like, they gutted that thing in hopes to get the number one overall pick. Ironically, it was for Tua, who now will not be the number one overall pick.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick is still playing.
He's still playing,
like,
man.
Like he gives a damn.
He's still playing. They should have just played Rosen all year if they wanted to get the number one overall pick.
The Giants, they had every opportunity to beat the Eagles, a division rival in Philly, and then they just...
Is Daniel Jones back this week? Do we know? Does it matter?
I don't know. I mean, he's going to throw two or three picks if he is in, so...
I'm with you, too, man. I hope that they just stayed in New York. They played at the Jets last week, right? Wasn't that a road game in New York?
Yeah,
so just stay in New York. Don't even fly back down south, man. They've been hanging out in the Big Apple all week.
I guess the question is, have they been partying in the Big Apple all week?
I, too, will take Miami. Got nothing to lose. All right, next one up. Now, this is a big one for playoff positioning. Tennessee all of a sudden is good, and it makes me sad. They are 8-5. Division on the line, potentially, what happens, depending on what happens with Indy. But 8-5 Tennessee hosting 8-5 Houston.
I'm going to take the Titans here. Hopefully, you've learned your lesson, but... if the Broncos were able to shred the Texans like they did, Tannehill has been reborn.
He has
still
been reborn.
Derrick Henry, who...
Wouldn't it have been the most Titan thing of all time, by the way, to give him like a big contract extension after this year?
Yeah, hopefully they're not doing that.
Like, just sign him up. He's our guy.
I'd sign... If I were them, I'd see if he wanted like a two-year deal.
And somebody's going to want him. I don't know whether it's them or somebody else.
I would figure out what under-the-radar quarterback I think in the second or third round might eventually be ready to go. But I don't know what Houston's problem is.
Yeah, they beat New England
easily
on Sunday Night Football. They beat New England, and then they followed up by getting housed by Denver at home.
Tennessee's really good at home, too.
They are very good at home. But there is one staple on this show, and what is that?
You don't take the Titans.
I'm picking against the Titans, man. Now, this one I think has a little more validity than other picks. Like, picking against them in Oakland was stupid.
It's not like Houston can't do it.
No, they for sure can. They're 8-5, right? Deshaun Watson running around. I think that was the ultimate bad coach not having a team focus moment.
Yeah.
Like, they have what it takes. They've shown they have what it takes. And then they lay a complete egg, which is dumb, but that's what the Titans do. That's why the Texans are the Texans.
For whatever reason, Tannehill has been able to engage and inspire all those young receivers.
Yeah.
Because we heard about the Corey Davises and the A.J. Browns, and they're big specimens, and they're big and tall and strong and fast. And for whatever reason, Mariota couldn't get it out of them, and Tannehill has, and I think they're going to call, and now they're full of confidence.
Yeah, they do have confidence, that's for sure. What the hell, man? I like picking against the Titans. Give me Houston. All right, next one up, Philly's in Washington. We don't need to talk about it. I'm assuming we're taking Philly?
Yeah.
Okay. How about this battle of crap? You got a couple of Heisman Trophy winners facing each other. One criticized the other one kind of earlier this week. Kyler Murray came out and said, I wouldn't do half the things that Baker Mayfield does. But you got Kyler Murray hosting Baker Mayfield, 3-9-1 Arizona, 6-7 Cleveland.
I'm going to take Cleveland here. The Arizona defense, where I thought they might have a chance last week in a game that on paper looked possibly winnable, their defense got shredded. So... I don't think Cleveland has to do if they focus on Nick Chubb and quit worrying about and then play action off of him to go up the field. I think Cleveland can put up a lot of points in
this
one. His
numbers this year, man, he's not getting any attention because all people want to talk about is the dysfunction.
Yeah.
And you go look, just even last week, look, they ended up beating Cincy like, what, 27-19 or whatever the final score was. They were throwing the ball a bunch early. They weren't running it. Freddie Kitchens is an idiot. We all know that.
Somebody get a hold of him and just say, if you line up and pound the rock with Chubb, that will set up play action. And
right.
This is a game where Baker Mayfield could go like 14 of 18 for 312 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, taking deep shots.
If they establish Chubb early on.
They finally started running the football after being down and after Baker Mayfield throwing a couple of early picks. And guess what happened? The offense got going and they won the game going away. Like, it blows me away. He's putting up numbers like Jim Brown-esque numbers for what he's done this year. It's pretty crazy, but all people want to talk about is the dysfunction that's there, which I get. That's a sexy headline, but Chubb's having a great year. Yeah, give me Cleveland on the road to get the win. All right, next one up. What's one of my other tenets on this show?
Always take the Raiders.
Give me the Raiders.
Okay, this
week they're home against Jacksonville.
It's actually the last game.
This is the last game.
At Oakland Coliseum. I don't know what they call it this week, but the Oakland Coliseum. It's not O.co anymore either. I don't know what they're calling it.
I'm going to call it the Sewage Stadium.
But yeah, Jacksonville has let it come and go. I don't think they want to be there.
Yeah, that's a long trip for them.
The black hole will rally the Raiders in this one. And they might even carry John Gruden out on their shoulders.
Yeah, my logic was right. My research was wrong.
Yeah, your timing was off there.
My timing was off. Give me the Raiders. They win this game. They're going to dominate the Jaguars. They won't even know what hit them. Give me Oakland to get the win. Last home game in Oakland before they move to Las Vegas. They're taking on the Jags, who, God, that just doesn't look good. Although they kind of made a little comeback last week, but Minshew magic, not so much last week for the Jags. All right, next one up. I'm terrified of this game. You know I love my boy Kirkers. I'm pulling from Minnesota this year. I am terrified of this game. We are on the road against the Chargers. It's going to be an all-Minnesota home game. We do know that at least. But the Chargers play those every week, and Phillip Rivers and that offense finally clicked last week. Minnesota at L.A. Trust them?
Yeah. No, the Chargers went bananas crazy on Phillip Rivers' birthday. It's not his birthday.
It's only a birthday thing.
So they're back home, which is a road game. So they'll charge it up again and
find a way to lose.
Vikings will, you know, if they give it to Dalvin Cook and work off of him, they'll be just fine.
Yeah, they got a win over Detroit last week. Bit of a hangover effort, I think, after that tough loss to Seattle on Monday Night Football. Had to come home, shorter week. But this has Minnesota let down written all over it. I've seen this game too many times for Kirk Cousins. But I'm going to trust him this week. What the hell? The Chargers know how to lose games creatively, unlike any other team in the league. Give me Minnesota to get the win on the road. Next one up, somehow, some way, your Dallas Cowboys are favored in this football game, and they are at home against the now resurgent L.A. Rams. Dallas hosting L.A.
Sean McVay is going to own that entire Dallas coaching staff. I think this is going to be death by a thousand cuts. I don't think you'll see big plays over the top. I just think you'll see them methodically march the ball up the field between Gurley and Hunter Higby and Cooper Kupp. And then the minute Dallas creeps the safeties up, then they'll hit them over the top with Woods or Brandon Cooks. I think McVay exposes the Dallas coaching staff in a manner in which Jerry Jones will be beside himself afterwards.
Yeah, I think LA's got to be sniffing a playoff spot right now, man. They're only a game behind Minnesota for that final wild card spot, and I just mentioned Minnesota in a bit of a trap situation against the Chargers. If they do lose, all of a sudden you can have a tie in that spot. It's a big one for the Rams. I'm done. That's one of my lessons I finally learned. I'm done touching Dallas. I think they've quit on the year. The coach is going to be gone. That's a bad situation right now. They got embarrassed by the Bears on Thursday Night Football. Rams are hot. Give me the Rams to go into Dallas. Probably a lot of Rams fans in that building, I'd imagine, to get the win. San Francisco at home against Atlanta.
Niners.
New Orleans at home against Indy.
Saints.
Yeah. Poor Indy, man. They had to go in there for a while. The wheels have fallen off a bit. And then last but not least, the Sunday night game. I'm excited for this one. Pittsburgh at home against Buffalo.
I think Mike Tomlin has got that defense all buying in and believing. I think Minka Fitzpatrick can take advantage of Josh Allen, and this won't be pretty. I don't know what the weather's going to be like on, was that Sunday night? I'll take Pittsburgh.
Sunday night,
19-16.
Yeah, we looked up the forecast for that one.
Hang on.
A little weather forecast. We need the weatherman. Swagger, the weatherman out of Pittsburgh. What are we looking like there? I do like, by the way, there's a great picture circulating on Twitter today of Mike Tomlin and Sean McDermott. Apparently, they were teammates at William & Mary back in the day. And it was like, whoa, it was funny to look at them. There's a picture somebody put a side-by-side photo of them up during their college days, and it was funny to look at. But I will take the Buffalo Bills in this game. They have not played in a Sunday night game since 2011. If you listen to the show this week, you found that out.
How about this?
What do we got?
Sunday, a.m. snow showers.
Ooh. Snow football, baby.
The high on Sunday is only expected to get to 36, so it's going to be in the 20s possibly.
That's a cold defensive game. The Steel Curtain. That is exactly what you want with Buffalo and Pittsburgh, isn't it? Two defensive teams, both of them a little offensively challenged. I am excited for that one. It's a big game for the AFC wildcard playoff picture. I'm pulling for Buffalo.
Give me my man Duck.
Be fun to see him in the playoffs. Hey, do you know he does duck calls? Did you know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you heard him do duck calls? Did you know he did duck calls? Oh, okay. Yeah, he does that. Yeah.
Sure thing, Andy.
give me Buffalo. There you go. The Pro Football Challenge every Thursday from 2 to 2:30. Go play along. 1080thefan.com brought to you by the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app. Your chance to win some cool prizes. So make sure you do it. And then if you've been playing all year, remember that the playoff games, which are coming up in a couple of weeks, count for like quadruple the points. So it's like the pick 'em on steroids coming up playoff time, man. So it's going to be fun. Should be a good weekend in the National Football League. All right. Hey, we got pigeons wearing cowboy hats.
Yeah, you need to explain further because I'm still skeptical.
Okay.
I'm not buying this.
We'll get to the story coming up next.
Feel the earth move below me.
Dare I attempt to resurrect the parlay of the day today? Because I got a couple lines I like. I think I've centered on where I want to go on Thursday Night Football.
All right.
I really want to gamble against the Blazers tonight.
And look, fading the Blazers has made me dough this year.
Although I did win money on them the other night when they played the Knicks.
Well, that was the Knicks. That's the Knicks.
And then you gave me a stat earlier about Boston. I'm like, wait, what?
Boston's 10-0 at home.
They're a dog tonight.
And a 1.5-point dog to the Sixers.
They're a dog tonight at home. So dare I resurrect the parlay of the day? We'll get to that coming up here in a few moments. This is a story, though, that has our show written all over it. And I saw this headline the other day and I thought, yep, we're going to need to bring this up. So in Las Vegas, we've all been to the wonderful city of Las Vegas. Great time. It's been too long since I've been to Vegas. I got to get back, man. And I can't wait, by the way, the Pac-12 championship going to be there next year in football. Like, that's going to be cool. So this is going on in Las Vegas. There are pictures and videos circulating on Facebook and other, you know, social media outlets of pigeons wearing miniature cowboy hats.
You're going to have to convince me this isn't Photoshopped.
No, it's not Photoshopped. So there's videos going around. There's two of them that people are kind of recognizing. So we're not sure if it's just two birds that are flying around and it's the same two, or if there's more that just kind of all look alike. So they're not sure exactly on how many have the hats on their head. Do you care to guess what the pigeons have been named by the folks on social media? Because they each have a name, at least the two that people can spot the most.
No.
So the two birds that have been identified, Cluck Norris. You ready for the next one?
Probably not.
Calamity Jane. So this started, let me find when the first one was reported. This in early December, okay? So that was the first one. There was a video posted. Somebody had a video, and he basically said, "These bleeping birds have hats on, bro." And it's a video of a pigeon walking around, and you can go see it. There's a Twitter account that tweeted this out on December 6th, Las Vegas locally. And the tweet just basically reads, "Somebody is putting tiny cowboy hats on Vegas pigeons. There are consequences to legalizing marijuana." That's what the tweet reads. And there's just there's a little pigeon walking around on the ground picking up stuff. It's a video, so he's not, you know, it's not a Photoshopped thing. And so there are multiple pigeons with tiny cowboy hats on their head. Now, animal rights groups are upset about this because when you look at the videos, there's no like string to the bottom of it. So they're thinking that at some point people caught the pigeons and then glued the hats to the top of their head, which is causing animal rights groups to not be happy about this. And nobody knows the originating factor. Nobody knows where this started. Some have speculated that this came from apparently the big rodeo, like bull riding kind of thing was just in Vegas.
Oh, the PBR finals?
Big PBR finals. Yeah. The national finals rodeo was in town.
That's a bit of a thing in Vegas.
Bit of a thing, man. So people are wondering, was there like a joint? Did somebody catch the pigeons to put the hats on the pigeons? And then that was the reasoning behind it? Or was there something else? But the group behind the animal rights folks, they've been attempting to capture the pigeons and remove the headgear because it's not safe, obviously, for them to have, you know, super glue on their heads flying around and all that kind of stuff. But they cannot trap them and they cannot seem to corral them because the birds with cowboy hats have become so popular with the people that they're getting an excess amount of food. So people are throwing food at these birds to get it to come closer to them so they can feed them and take pictures with the birds and the pigeons and the cowboy hats. So the group, they've been attempting now for nearly 2.5 weeks, basically trying to lure these birds into food traps, but they're not taking the bait because they're eating a lot of food. So what do we make of pigeons wearing cowboy hats roaming the strip in Las Vegas?
They're smoking a cigarette. I'm in.
I don't know why the video, you got to go watch these videos. I'll tweet one out. Let me find this tweet and I'll send it out with our show account so people can go watch it. And it's legit just a pigeon walking around in a cowboy hat. And it would be the damnedest thing. Like, you just imagine yourself having a good time on a Saturday night in Vegas, right? You're like wandering around at 4 o'clock in the morning, trying to find your way back to your hotel room. And you look out into the road and what do you see there? A pigeon rocking a mini cowboy hat. We'll see if any more end up doing it, too, because it sounds like there's only one or two of them. So we don't know the exact number of pigeons that have the cowboy hats on their heads. But it's just the damnedest thing when you see them. So I'll tweet this video out after it's Sprague on Twitter. If you have not seen it yet, it's worth a chuckle. And I think you'll find it entertaining. We hope the birds are okay and nothing wrong with the super glue on the head probably isn't the safest thing, obviously. And hopefully at some point they catch them and they get the hats off. But it does make for a funny video and a funny picture. So go check it out. We'll tweet it out at Thurton Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. I wanted to rattle through the poll questions quickly because we have the parlay of the day is coming back in the final segment. I want to get to that. I got three picks that I like today, which of course is going to end up wrong. So fade me in my picks tonight because that's basically been my gambling the last couple of weeks. But wanted to rattle through a couple of these really quickly because we just had a few of them at Thurton Sprague. By the way, ongoing conversations about the best Christmas movie of all time on our Twitter account, and I appreciate that. What is your interest level in bowl games? You had four options to vote on. I'll watch the big games, watch a few here or there. Only my team probably are high. I love the bowl games. 40% of you say you just basically watch the big games. 31% say you watch a few here or there, and then 20% you say you love them. 9% only watch their team. I do think that's one of the unintended consequences of the college football playoff, unfortunately, that so much like all the eggs are put into the playoff basket. If you don't make it, people seem to think the season is a disappointment or there's not the same level of investment in the other big games maybe at the end of the year. That is one downfall, I think, of that four-team format. And it's one of the reasons, honestly, why I propose a bigger playoff expansion, because I think you get more entertainment and more excitement out of a college football postseason instead of having it be this, like, oh, God, who wants to watch another crappy game, right? You just involve more teams. You involve more markets. You involve more people around the country. I think it'd be a win-win for college football. But 40% of you say you only watch the big games of the bowl season. And last one, should the NFL change the playoff format away from division winners getting to host a playoff game? 60% of you have a brain. And you say yes. Seated on records. 40% of you say no. Reward the division winners. Doesn't seem that complicated. If you win your division, you can go to the playoffs. I'm completely fine with that format. But you shouldn't be able to host a playoff game. Looking at you, Dallas, and looking at you, Philly. All right, go check our Twitter account if you want to see the pigeons walking around in miniature cowboy hats. We'll close up. We got a good TNT doubleheader tonight in the NBA. And Thursday Night Football, how healthy will Lamar Jackson be? As there's been concerns about his injury all week long. They are hosting the Jets tonight on Thursday Night Football, and the parlay of the day is back. We'll close up there next on The Fan. Much appreciated the gambling tip. Better You Today text line said, right now I'm in on the President's Cup. It was fun watching golf last night, getting home, although the Americans sucked outside of Tiger. Fun watching Patty Reed getting razzed a little bit. We didn't even talk about that on the show. Him. Oh, Patty Reed, he can't get out of his own way. I went to the Masters, and it was one of the more enjoyable sports experiences of my life. It will always have a turd stain on it, though, and it was I went to the Masters that Patty Reed won. Like, of all the Masters I could have gone to, I went to the Patrick Reed Masters. Missed it by a year.
I don't know. He doesn't bug me the way he does a lot of
bug
people.
You. I go back and forth on him.
I will always remember him in the Ryder Cup showdown with Rory.
Oh, for sure, and shushing the fans and stuff. Like he's got that Captain America vibe.
He's perfect for
but
the
then
Ryder
even
Cup.
Watching him, who was he playing with again last night? Old long putter guy.
Webb Simpson.
Webb Simpson, thank you. Like, there is no teamwork or camaraderie between the two of them. And even the commentators towards the end of the round were like, these guys are just out here playing their own thing. Like, they're just doing, like, there's no like, hey, why don't you try for the middle of the green, then I'll go for the pin. Like, none of that stuff. He's just out in his own little world. If you miss it, he adjusted his ball in the sand the other day. Tiger's event last week, and cameras caught it, and it's been a whole thing. So he's getting razzed by the fans over there in Australia. But a listener with a gambling tip, he said right now you can find Team USA at plus 100. Now, look, they played bad yesterday, but tournament's just getting started. One bad day. They were the overwhelming favorites coming in. So I kind of like that right now. One other thing I wanted to get to, and I might try and find somebody to talk about this tomorrow. And a hat tip to a listener who texted this in as well, because I saw the rumors kind of circulating on Twitter. And I don't know how closely people are following this, but there was another Stanford player who just entered the transfer portal. Devery Hamilton, he's an offensive lineman, I believe. He's a tackle, and he started a number of games for them this year. He is the 11th Stanford player, 11th, to enter the transfer portal this month. 11 guys from their team. Now, what this is leading a lot of people to kind of speculate about, and I've seen rumors out of D.C. around this, there's a lot of speculation that David Shaw could be leaving Stanford and going to the NFL because he's still a commodity. The Redskins have let it circulate a little bit that they are high on David Shaw and they would love to go hire him to be the next head coach in D.C. I mean, that would be just a monumental change in the conference if it were to happen. And I think you would look at Stanford. It's amazing that he was able to keep the program on the path it was on when they hired Jim Harbaugh and to continue the trend. But you look at now where Oregon's at, kind of overcoming them. Washington State is a pretty sound program. We know Washington, where they've been the last couple of years, and we'll see if they can continue it with Jimmy Lake. It just kind of, their standing has slipped a little bit in the Pac-12 North, and they're not going to a bowl game this year. So I wonder if you're David Shaw, you just kind of look at that and you say, man, this thing's slipping a little bit. I got restrictions on the kind of guys that I can bring into this program. Maybe it's time for me to test out the NFL waters and go take one of those jobs. But it's just that strange. You see 11 guys transferring out of Stanford in the same month. That's an incredible number of players. So that's a storyline to keep an eye on out of Stanford and for the Pac-12, because you lose David Shaw, who is still considered one of the best coaches in this conference despite their down season, and rightfully so. That is a really, really tough blow for that program, and we'll see if they end up having to make a decision of where they go. But Devery Hamilton entering the transfer portal from Stanford, the 11th player, and it leads people to think that David Shaw is leaving the program. Coming up tonight, you got a doubleheader in the NBA. And both games, I mean, Portland's involved in one of them, so I know there's going to be a local interest in it. They are in Denver later on tonight. And then the first game of the doubleheader is Philly at Boston. And I'm actually excited for that game because Boston is 10-0 at home. Philly's playing pretty good ball. Joel Embiid just got criticized the other day. They got some guys that are playing well. Kemba Walker just had a big night the other night. But I've been looking at some of these lines. So right now on the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app, you can pull some of these up. The Thursday night football game is Baltimore hosting New York. And the line on that game is 17. Now that's a pretty big line, even though I know the Jets suck and they haven't been playing well the last couple of weeks, losing to Cincinnati and barely beaten by a field goal the Miami Dolphins last week, even though they held Miami out of the end zone for the game. 17 scares me a little bit. That's a pretty big line for a Thursday night football game, especially considering Lamar Jackson is a little banged up, and I could see him maybe wanting to get him out of the game later on. But what I do think on a short week, now I went against this last week. I liked the under in the Thursday night game last week between Dallas and Chicago, and I ended up being wrong on that. I mean, that over covered easily. So I'm going to go against my instincts from last week. I like the over in this game tonight. I do. I think Baltimore, just because of how difficult their offense is to stop, whether Lamar Jackson is 100% or not, like they're going to run it up and down the field a little bit, and they're going to be able to put some points on the board on that Jets defense. Now, I think the Jets will be able to score in this game. Like, Darnold's got it figured out a little bit. I know they had the clunker in Cincinnati.
The variable is, what does Le'Veon Bell feel like he needs to prove?
Sure, and I could see, he came out, by the way, with comments this week, too, saying, like, I've been underutilized all year, so I could see him having a big performance off of the flu controversy. Outside of that Cincinnati game, like, the Jets have been better offensively over the last month and a half of the season.
Well, they had
season.
The three straight games where they scored 34
they
points.
They did, right? They were lighting it up, and then they kind of, you know, a couple weeks back, but look, Baltimore's got the number one seed in the AFC. They know they're going to win this game. I don't see them shutting the Jets out. So I look, 31-14, somewhere in that range, 35-17. I like the over in this game. The over is 44, so that's part one of my parlay. Yeah, I like the over in this game.
Weather shouldn't be, it's going to be cold, but very little chance of rain, very little wind. So there shouldn't be anything that the weather, you know, prohibiting the passing game or anything like that.
Well, and I was looking too, like last week, if you were to fall in love with the double digit favorites in the NFL, I believe every single one of them failed to cover the spread. Hmm. If I'm not mistaken, because Houston was a big favorite over Denver. They lost. Minnesota, I believe, closes a 13.5 point favorite over Detroit, and they won that game by 13. I know it was 13.5 like a day or two before the game, so I'm not sure exactly. And then there was one other one. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I feel like all the big underdogs covered last week. I did 17, man. That's so many points.
Cleveland and the Bengals? Was Cleveland?
Yeah,
were
I think they were a huge favorite.
I think they had to grind one out.
14 point favorite or something in that game too. So 17, that just scares me away because we've seen Baltimore drill teams, but 17 has backdoor written all over it. So give me the over in that game. It's set at 44, and then in the NBA on that TNT doubleheader action. I've had a really hard time gambling on over-unders this year in the NBA. I keep trying to hit some over-unders, and I just haven't been able to do it. But I do like the lines. Now, if you locked it in early enough, the line's going up. Denver's favored by 7 right now over Portland. Whenever Portland runs into one of these better teams in the Western Conference, we've seen it twice now in the last week. They got smoked by the Clippers on the road, and then the Lakers came in here. Rodney Hood went down, and they got dominated in that game. You're on the road in Denver. I'm all over the Nuggets minus the 7 tonight. And then the last one, as I alluded to at the start of the segment, Boston is undefeated at home this year. They're 10-0.
Yep.
That's a tip from Swigard from before the show. I didn't realize that coming in. And they are getting 1.5 at home against Philly.
Now, they did play last night.
But who did they play?
I don't know. Kemba had 44.
He went off. I mean, it's a big game. You're hosting Philly. You got a little Northeast rivalry thing going on. But, you know, a couple of teams competing for seeding in the top half of the Eastern Conference. I don't know. There's your parlay of the day. So buy or beware, because I've been on a cold streak as of late outside of the Sunday Night Football Rams win. Outside of that, it's been rough going for me.
The Celtics lost to the Pacers last night in Indianapolis.
Okay, bounce back game, then they're undefeated at home. Love it, Swigard. So I'm taking the Celtics plus 1.5, Nuggets minus 7, and then the over of 44 in Thursday Night Football. How many am I going to get right?
I don't know. If it were me, I think the Mavericks minus 7 at the Pistons might be a little stronger play.
Okay.
Because when Dallas gets on a roll, they just blow out bad teams. They roll bad teams.
Okay. So you like the Mavs tonight? You can throw that into the parlay too. Maybe you want to get frisky. Make it a 14 parlay.
Why not?
Go 4-teamer.
The more the merrier.
Go big or go
home,
baby.
Increase those odds.
Go big or go home. All right, well,
hey,
good
I'm
luck.
Not going to see you until
no,
Lord knows when. I'm off tomorrow.
Yeah, enjoy your day off tomorrow. I think the next show I'll be back is December 30th.
I'll be here for that.
So I'll see you.
I may not have much of a voice at that point.
Yeah, right after the LSI.
Well, that's championship night of the LSI.
Ooh.
So hope to see many of you out at Liberty High School.
It's going to be fun. Yeah, it's always a fun tournament. Well, enjoy your Christmas, Swigard.
You too.
Enjoy your day off. I'll talk to you before I fly out for the Rose Bowl. That will do it, though, for us. If you miss it, Tyson Alger joined us. You can go catch that. Ryan McDonough as well, former GM of the Suns. He's really good, man, on the NBA trade deadline and moves that Blazers should make, all that kind of stuff. Go check those Les Schwab Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find both of them. Tomorrow, it's going to be a Joe Fish edition on a Friday because Swag's taking the day off. We got Adam Rittenberg on at 12:30. So I want to talk a lot about just bowl games and college football in general with him. I love having Adam Rittenberg on. And then is Nimmick confirmed? Is he coming in 1 to 1:30? Okay. So we'll do a little signing day preview because that first signing day is next week. Oregon State trending in the right direction. The Ducks just lost a big-time commitment, a safety from Florida. So we'll get a little recruiting preview of signing day with Andrew Nimmick coming up tomorrow, 1 to 1:30. We'll spread the line. We'll make our Pac-12 bowl game picks. It's going to be a fun Friday show, my last one before vacation. Thank you for being a part of our Thursday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fam.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.